Thank you, worship team. Lord Jesus. Lord, once again, thank you for this day. Because this is a day that you have made. Lord, we want to experience you in every part of this day. We come seeking. We seek your heart. We seek your presence. Lord, fill us with your spirit. Fill us with your love. Fill us with your word, Lord. Open up heaven for us this morning. Bless your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Now, if that's really the cry of your heart, is he going to deny that? No. Because that's what he wants too. So to deny that would actually be kind of denying himself, wouldn't it? It would be depriving him of what he wants. You know, our worship team has been working really hard. They don't just practice once a week. They practice several times a week, and sometimes we used to practice once a week for a half an hour. Linda used to practice once a week for a half an hour, but they practice sometimes for a couple hours every time they practice. And it's appreciated very much, each one of you. Yes. It is a time of transition. We've had some difficult times the last few months. But you know what? God is good and we move on, don't we? That's what we're supposed to do. Right, Joe? Weren't you saying something about that this morning? But moving on. I may be moving slow, but I'm moving on. I got that momentum working for me. I'm moving on. Luke 21, 1 through 4. I'm not going to be there very long, so. And he looked up and saw the rich man casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, of a truth, I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God, but she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. No, I'm not necessarily going to be talking about money today. Actually, I'm talking about praise and worship. Money will take care of itself. God provides. So I'm not going to hit you over the head with the offering basket. Of course, it is there, you know. There's two of them. But that's between you and God. 2 Corinthians 8:12. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. As I said, the gift that we give to God that I'm talking about is our praise and our worship. Psalm 27:4 through 6. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore, will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. One thing, it says, one thing have I desired of the Lord. William MacDonald, in his Believer's Bible Commentary, refers to the one thing people. One thing. They know what they want, and they're determined to get it. Nothing will stand in their way. Isaiah 50, verse 7 says, "For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed." The one thing, people, set their face like a flint. That almost sounds like stubbornness, doesn't it? And yet in the Bible, 1 Samuel 15:23, it says that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. But yet, I believe that there is a time when stubbornness is accepted by God. That's when we're stubborn for Him, for His ways. We won't settle for anything less. The stubbornness of setting our mind and our entire being towards seeking Him and doing His will. That verse is from 1 Samuel 15, and it's God speaking through Samuel to King Saul when Saul disobeyed God. Saul, in his rebellion and in his stubbornness, rejected God's word. And because he did, God rejected him, his king, and chose a neighbor of his to be king, a shepherd boy named David. David, who also wrote our opening scripture today. David was a man after God's own heart. What does that mean? It kind of means he was a one thing people, wasn't he? God was always before him. He says, "Early will I seek you." "My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is." Is that our heart's cry this morning? We should wake up with that cry, shouldn't we? How does someone become a man after God's own heart? Is there anybody in here that doesn't want to be that? And when I say man, it means woman too. That's kind of a word like mankind. It's really non-generic or non-gender. What does it start with? Like everything else, it always starts with faith, doesn't it? But it requires seeking His presence. And how do we find His presence? How do we enter into His presence? We enter into His presence with praise and worship. Psalms 100, verse 4 says, tells us to enter into His gates with thanksgiving in our heart and into His courts with praise. That's the attitude we're supposed to have when we do come into His presence. But it's also the way we get there, with praise in our heart, that opens up the door for us, that takes us in there. How do we worship? I heard someone say it. With spirit, in spirit and in truth. Very deep and very real, very sincere. When we worship, we have an audience of one. And only an audience of one. Nothing else matters. We shut everything else out. Our worship team did a beautiful job this morning. They set the temple. And we flow with what they're doing. We flow. We just get carried along with it. We yield to what they are doing. Their leading helps carry us into the presence of God. Right into His throne room. Yeah, I can close my eyes during worship sometimes, and I can imagine being there. Because I want that so bad. I believe that worship is the most important part of a church service. We have to give our hearts to God first, don't we? God created us to worship Him. The enemy doesn't want us doing that. Because we've taken over his job. That was his job. You are the anointed cherub who covers. That's talking about worship. The image you get is of the devil, Lucifer at that time, leaning over God with his hands extended. And it's been suggested that maybe he looked down and saw that he was actually above God, and that went to his head, and he thought, I will put my throne above his. I will ascend to the highest part of the mountain. I will. Worship is important. How important is it? Psalms 22 says that he inhabits our praises. Some translations say he settles in our praises, or he lives in our praise. Church services are a battlefield. We here at Isaiah 58 have had the enemy coming against us really, really strong lately. Seems like every time we turn around, he's coming in a different direction. He's throwing everything he can against us. But when the enemy comes in like a flood, God will raise up a standard. Second Chronicles 20. I'm not going there yet. I've got that written down here twice. That's okay. 2 Corinthians 4, 8 and 9. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. I like the way the New King James Version puts the first part of that. We are hard pressed on every side. Instead of troubled, he says hard pressed, yet not crushed. Hard pressed. That's pressure from the enemy. It's the heaviness. He tries to put so much on top of us that he just crushes us, just wears us down. In Daniel, it talks about the enemy wearing down the saints. Just a little bit at a time, just trying to take his breath away, I guess. So what do we do? How do we fight that? 2 Chronicles 20, now I'm going to talk about it, tells of one specific battle, but it provides us with a biblical truth. Jehoshaphat was king at that time, and three countries are coming against the southern kingdom of Judah that he was king over. And he went into the temple, into God's house, and he prayed. And the prophet came to him and said, this is what you'll do. This is what God said you'll do. Put the musicians and the singers in the front of the army and go out to battle. brilliant military tactic, isn't that? I can see General Patton doing that. Yeah, let's put the singers and the musicians in front. But yet there's a biblical truth there, isn't there? Praise has to come first. The nation of Judah means praise. Several times in the Bible it says, who will go up first to take their land? Judah will. Literally, praise will go first. It may not make sense in the natural, but I've noticed God doesn't always work the way things do in the natural. Isaiah 61:3, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And the spirit of heaviness, of course, comes from being hard-pressed on every side. Garment of praise. The word garment is in the Bible several times. Yet there's only one time when this particular rendering of it is in the Bible. And that's in Isaiah 61:3. It's number 4594. Very similar to all the other ones, but there's an emphasis on something. The emphasis is on wrapping yourself with it. The Bible says in Psalm 22:3 that He inhabits our praises. And since He inhabits our praises, we are literally wrapping ourselves in Him. Because He's there in those praises. Praise and worship. My favorite part of our church service. To feel His presence. To get lost in His presence. Where everything becomes shadows in the light of Him. In case you didn't notice, I love our worship. I love worship. What would we do without it? Well, it's early. And I'm done. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we do worship You. Lord, we do seek You. We need You so much, Lord. Lord, we love You. We, Your people, give You praise. We look to You for all things. As I've mentioned many times from up here, Lord, that the days are getting darker. The enemy's trying to put our light out. But we praise You. Just like Leah said, when her husband didn't love her, he loved his other wife better. But yet she had three children, and she thought that with each one, that would win her husband's love. With the fourth one, she named Judah, praise. And she said, now I will praise the Lord. I will look beyond my problems. I'll look beyond my struggles. I'll look beyond my heartache, and I will praise the Lord. We will praise You, Jesus. We thank You. I thank You, Lord, for Your word. I thank You, Lord, for Your presence here. Thank You, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. That concludes our service. I want to make one announcement. Thursday, Thanksgiving dinner here. And it's free. It's going to be every bit as good as what other places in town might be charging $25 for. And anybody that wants to volunteer, we're going to need a lot more people. We're going to need a lot more servers and maybe even some dishwashers. It starts at 2, and it goes till 4:30. Anyway, you're all invited, and I want to thank you all for coming, and that concludes our service.